Hello, and thank you so much for tuning in to the She Can Ball podcast. I'm your host, Mahi Jariwala. Before we get into today's episode, I want to thank our sponsor. Shelly Bean the Sports Queen is a five-part book series. In each, little Shelly Bean wants to try a new sport, but isn't very good when she first tries. With the help of her diverse friends and family, she perseveres. Representation of girls in sport is so important in children's books, so make sure you check them out. I will leave their website in the story notes. Okay, so I know you're in Poland right now, correct?
Yes, I am.
So how has that been? Has the season started yet?
So the season starts in October. Right now, we're just doing, they call it friendly games, which is really just scrimmages every weekend. So I know there's like different tournaments that teams host. So we only have two more games. So one more tournament this week. So Friday, Saturday, and then the season starts in October. So it's right around the corner.
So then you guys do practices or something throughout the week?
Yeah, so here in Poland, they have like two practices a day, so that's fun. So yeah, during the week, we practice, and then weekends, we're playing games, and then Sunday, we have off. Unless we play on Sunday, then Monday, we will have off, so that's, you know, that's how it's going.
And what are your practices like?
So usually, the first practice, it may be weights, or just like opportunity for you to train or shoot. And the second practice is like real practice where you're, you know, running through plays, maybe 5-on-5 with your team, the usual basketball practice. So that's why it's really two practices a day, because the first one's either you're shooting or weights. And then the second practice is real practice.
I know you've played overseas in like many different places, but like, have you played in Poland before?
Yeah, so this is my second time playing in Poland. First time I was with the team named Lots or Woosh. I can never get the pronunciation right. They correct me all the time, and I'm like, it's spelled L-O-D-Z. So I'm gonna say it like that. I've tried, but I've heard different. I heard many ways of how to pronounce it, and that's what messes me up. But yeah, that was my first team in Poland. That was 2 years ago, and you know, I really liked the league. It was very professional, so I'm here again, but with Wrocław.
And like, I know you've played overseas in many different places, but like, is it weird to go and have to adjust to somewhere different? Because like, we talk about, you know, you move for college, or like you move even for WNBA teams, but like, this is like you move into a different country where they speak a different dialect, and it's all different.
I mean, every year is different. Like you said, like if you go to different countries, which I have had, but this is like year four for me playing professionally, especially overseas. And I can say I'm used to it. Like I know what to expect. Meeting new teammates, new coaching staff, a new system. So it's like starting all over every year, but the nerves and the what will I expect, what might happen, all that goes out the window every year, because it's like, okay, I've experienced this, this, and that. This went wrong, this went right. So it's like, I'm going to make it work when I get there. And I know at the end of the day, things are going to go well for me. So yeah, I say every year, you just get used to it.
When you talk about playing style, it's interesting because I know that, you know, even because I'm in high school right now, a lot of people do AAU and high school basketball, and you know, there can be different kind of the playing style of the two different teams, and so a lot of people to go back and forth, but like, how do you deal with that?
Really just adjusting. So as a point guard and a shooting guard, of course you want to ask your coach like what he expects for you and the team. You know, what's the goal? Of course, the goal is winning, but like, how do you want to win? Do you want it to be a fast paced team? Do you want the point guard to slow it up most of the time and call plays? So like you said, you know, the system can be different, but, you know, as a professional, you're getting paid to perform and to adjust. So, you know, it's up to you to adjust, or if you don't adjust, then, you know, that year might be you know, a little bad for you. It might be a bad experience. So I'll just say, just with my experience, I learned how to adjust with all types of different systems and coaches. And the first part I'll say is to just ask your coach on like, what does he expect from you? What does he expect from the team? What's his system? If you don't know that already, and then just go out there and try to mix in your game, how you play with that, and just see how it goes from there. Yeah, so it's just all a trial and error, just going with the flow and trying to fix little things as you're going with the flow.
When you're playing professional, like you said, like you're getting played to play basketball, and I feel like mm-hmm. that can be hard on your mind because basketball isn't something that you can kind of control. It's kind of something that just kind of you go and it just kind of happens. And so, right. Is it hard to like play professional basketball and have that in the back of your head, like this is also your job at the same time?
Right. That's a really good question, because as a professional, you're getting paid to perform. You're getting paid to stay healthy. So of course it's not fun. Well, I don't want to say it's not fun, but it's a business now and you have to treat it as such. And that, you know, the first couple of years, that's what I had to get used to, like the business aspect of it. Like you said, playing basketball, you go play basketball, you train, you just get it done. But at the end of the day, you still have to realize that this is a business. You're like a walking billboard for the team. You have to maybe monitor what you put on social media, what you say around people. Even in other countries, you have to learn how to accommodate yourself with the different cultures. So, you know, some cultures don't accept this, and Americans are kind of, you know, we're kind of open, and some countries are not open. So it's kind of like you have to know how to move around, even when something simple as going to the store. But yeah, that I'll say, just learning that is a business, that aspect of it is can be frustrating, but once you get the hang of it, then it is just like, yeah, I'm here to play basketball, we're here to win. That's really it. And I have to stay healthy.
Do you ever think it was like hard for you because you were like kind of losing your love for basketball because you're so focused on it kind of being your job?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So last year I actually took a year off for my mentality, and it was a lot going on, especially with COVID. So I'll say, I mean, I don't recommend athletes taking a year off because that can, you know, hurt you at times with when it comes to the business part. But yeah, I had to step back and see, like, is this something that I want to continue to do? Or do I want, as an adult, do I want to see, like, what are my other passions out there? Do I just want to maintain and focus on my business now, even though, like, I'm still doing that, but put more time into my business? So just with that year off, it gave me enough time to realize that I still want to play basketball. You know, I still have love for the sport. I still have more to give. So yeah, I'm just back at it.
No, that's amazing. I've talked to a lot of athletes that have taken breaks, and I think that's important, especially when you've been playing for literally your whole life, and now yeah. you're kind of making this your job. It's hard, and like if you lose the love for it, it's hard to play.
Exactly, and it's hard to get it back too. If you lose the love for it, you just continue to play, then you literally start to hate your life because basketball is your life. That's what you eat, breathe. Wake up to basketball. Yeah. Everything is basketball. So if you hate it, it's like, why? Like, why am I still doing this? But I feel like a lot of people that, you know, don't give themselves that break, I feel like maybe they might feel like they're trapped or they're afraid to explore different options. So I always say, you know, even while you're still playing basketball, try to find what else you're good at, what interests you, like something other than basketball, because basketball does not last forever. So you have to, you have no choice but to find something else. So
I think that's true. I think like at the beginning of COVID, and I think those first few months I was super basketball oriented, and I, like a lot mm-hmm. of people like felt unmotivated, and I'm like, how can you feel unmotivated? Like, you're supposed to be working, this is the time to put in the work. And I think like that happened, and then this summer, like my AU team, we didn't play that many games because of COVID. Okay. A lot of things got canceled, our girls were injured, and so it was just a lot of like plays and a lot of practices, and we didn't really get to play that much. And so mm-hmm. I'm not gonna lie, like I sort of lost my love for it a little bit. And so this past yeah. like 2 months, I think I've really been focused on like weights and like doing more strengthening stuff, and then like just playing more basketball if I can, if that's too on you or whatever that may be.
Right. Well, I think you doing this is very impressive. And you never know, you might want to continue to do this and become like a big time podcaster, YouTuber. I don't even know how to, because I don't do this, so I don't know the right terminology. You're good. But it's I think it's pretty cool that at your age you're, you know, taking this big step.
And it's been fun. I think I really love to talk to people and then kind of combining like what I'm passionate about. Like I love talking to people and I love talking about basketball. So, and specifically women's basketball. So combining that together has been pretty cool.
Awesome. Yeah.
With your CW hair care, you want to talk more about that and like how that's been to like, I mean, I know you do a lot of philanthropic work as well, but like being able to like work and be part, like be co-CEO of a business, like how is that?
Well, that's fun because it's a family owned business. So it's like my mom and I, we, you know, help run CW Hair Care, and it's really about her story. So it got started because she was losing her hair due to stress, and she's a really like natural type person, herbs, oils, like things that come from earth. That's, you know, that's who she is. So, but at that time, she was really desperate. So she went to doctors, was prescribed on like different drugs and ointments, and nothing was working. But to make a long story short, she basically did her own research, trial and error, different types of, I'll say, concoctions of herbs. And, you know, she found like two products that worked. I was still in college at the time, and I took her oil. You know, that's what daughters do. We take our mom's stuff. And my hair, you know, my hair was becoming a lot healthier. It was growing. You know, other family members and her friends, you know, took the products. And basically, she just got a lot of feedback, and we pushed her to start the business. It's not like she wanted to do it, but I was just like, you can help a lot of people with this. Because, you know, you weren't the only one that went through losing your hair. And, you know, there's people that they're taking drugs and stuff, and they might want to have a more natural substitution to it. So, but yeah, so now I'm just helping her grow the business, and it's been fun.
So what are some of the things you do? Like what is included in your role?
Well, my role is more of like creating Instagram content. So learning how to do that's been fun, but also a challenge. Because that's not like my profession, so I've just been learning. I even like took class on it, so trying to get better with that, and just networking with other people, so probably like content creators or other business owners in that realm of hair care and things like that, and just learning on what beauty supply stores around Atlanta and other states that, you know, might be of interest to us. So just a lot of research, but mostly Instagram content and networking.
Awesome. How do you make your Instagram content? Because I've seen that. They're pretty cool.
Thanks. So I use Canva a lot. Canva is big. For videos, I use InShot, just like the clip videos and stuff. Like even though I have a MacBook and it has iMovies and stuff, I find it easier to do it on InShot. I think that's just an easier, lost for words, app to clip videos on. So that's how I do it. So yeah, Canva, InShot, and really that's it. Those are my go-tos.
Okay. Yeah, because I use iMovie. I use Canva for Instagram posts, and I use iMovie to edit. But I'm always looking for different things to do. So I'll check out InShot, and I'll let you know how that goes.
Okay, yeah, please. Because I feel like iMovie, I just can't get the hang of it. For some, like I've looked at YouTube videos to see how to do it, and it's just, for me, it's more difficult than InShot. But yeah, let me know how you like it.
Yeah, no, iMovie's a little weird because I know that there's even like Premiere Cut Pro, which a lot of people use. And I went into that and I was like, what does all this mean?
Yeah, exactly. And then like I found Capwing, and that's something I use to add subtitles. So that's a good one. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I'm going to need to like write these down, but I'll definitely, I'll use those. I want to go back a little bit to your high school career. I know you played cross, track and field, and I think you did something else, volleyball. Like playing all these sports, do you think that ultimately like helped you with basketball?
Yeah, definitely track and cross country, because I got in shape, learn how to run correctly with like proper form. And then volleyball was just something that was just fun. I always tell people, if I was a lot taller, I would quit basketball, I would play volleyball. Volleyball was super fun. I feel like it was less intense than basketball, but you still had that competitive spirit. And even though with my height, like at 5'8", there's a position on a volleyball team for that, but I wanted to be the people at the net blocking and spiking the ball. So I was like, yeah, if I can't do that, I don't play. But yeah, also it just helps with relieving the stress of just playing basketball over and over and over again. Like just adding something new to your life just helps you relax a little bit from the basketball world and just seeing like, just starting out that there's something else out there in the world that is fun also. So yeah, I feel like it helped out.
And when you were playing those, was basketball still kind of your main thing? And these were kind of just like stuff you did on the side?
Absolutely. So usually I'll have my practice for those sports. And then at night, train for basketball. So even in the morning before school, it was a couple of my teammates for basketball that we would go and train, like lift weights, conditioning in the morning before school, take our shower. We'll all hop in the car, go to school. And then before the season, we'll go our separate ways. Like I'll go to either cross country, track, or volleyball practice, and then at night we'll come back together, get in the gym and do training. So basketball was my number one sport, so I didn't want to neglect that, still want to get better with it. So I just fit into my schedule.
How did you do that? So like, how are you doing like all these different sports and then you come back and do basketball? How does that work?
A lot of sacrifice. So just really knowing the end goal, which for me at the time, the end goal was to get a scholarship, a full ride scholarship to a D1 school. So in order to do that, I knew I had to be a gym rat, get better, associate myself with other people that had the same mindset and goal. And with the sacrifice part, like barely went to any high school parties, barely went to any high school party when I say that for sure. A lot of late nights, early mornings. So just learning that grind at a young age, you know, just helped me know what to expect in college. And honestly, when I got to college, that stuff wasn't new to me. Like having a work ethic, having to stay up late at night, get up early in the morning and still grind was not new to me because I did it in high school. So it kind of gave me a head start compared to some of my teammates. So yeah, I'll say sacrifice, but I don't like calling it sacrifice because this is just things you have to do in order to obtain your goals.
And then, you know, you went on to Arkansas and then you moved to NC State. I mean, you didn't play, you sat out your freshman year because of the NCAA transfer rules, but then you come out sophomore year and you average 13.8 points a game. How does that happen? Like, how do you not play for such a long period of time? You're in a new system and you haven't actually like played any games before and then you go out and kill it.
It was very hard because that was my first year of taking off anything from basketball. Just like I still got to practice and, you know, train with the teams, but with the rules back then, I couldn't travel with them. So if they had games that were close, I'll have to drive myself. So that was weird. Just not being able to play again, you kind of lose that feeling of playing a real game at a high level, because practice is very controlled, but in games it's not controlled. So when I came back and was eligible to play, that kind of took a while to get that feeling back, that mindset back. And I tried to, during that year when I wasn't playing, try to focus on things I wanted to get better at, which I did. But again, when I got back, basically just trying to get that feel of you're practicing on these days and now you're playing. Cause usually it was practice and then game days I didn't play cause I wasn't eligible, but now I'm playing. So your body had to get used to that again. Yeah. So that's what I went through. It was interesting and I hate that rule. I think they took it out now, but yeah, it sucked.
And what was that like mindset shift? Because like, I think a lot of people, and I personally went through that because of COVID. How did you change your mindset of like, okay, now this is practice and now it's in games, you know?
Well, that's a great question. And I kind of just look at it as for practice, treat it like it's a game. So I try to have the same mindset in practice, like in my games, even though again, it's controlled. And also once you get used to that, then every time in practice, you want to push yourself. And now as a pro in practice, I might say, okay, today I want to work on moves with in and outs. Like after I do an in and out reading the player, or today I want to work on creating assists, more assists for myself and getting my players or my teammates open. So it's more of in practice, taking it as what can I do today to get better? What can I learn today? So when you get into games and, you know, you practice the in and out over and over all week. So when you're doing it in a game, now you can read it. The game starts to slow down for you. But I'll say treat your practice with the same mindset like you would in a game. So like I know a lot of players, they might go into practice, they're laughing a lot, they're playing around, and then game time comes and they can't make that switch because 9 times out of 10, you're practicing more than you're playing. So if you're laughing and taking everything as a joke, you're doing that more than being serious. So your body can't really make that switch because your body is like, I'm used to joking around more than being serious. So I'll just say mindset wise, treat your practice like a game.
For sure, for sure. You've had an amazing career so far, but have there been any like roadblocks that you've had to face?
Absolutely, a lot. Roadblocks, I'll say mentally. Again, just being an athlete, you're very isolated. You're not around family a lot. It's a very, I'll say a lonely career. It is. And during that time, I'll say before going to Israel and in Israel, I was dealing with a lot of like family stuff, personal things outside of basketball that kind of fell into basketball while I was playing. So it was just a lot on my mind at that time. And then I was on a team where we just couldn't, for some reason, we couldn't win a game. It was a tough season, but I had a player that was, she was American. I think she was the leading scorer in Israel or top two. I was in the top seven at the time. Like we were scoring, at the end, we just couldn't figure out how to win. So that was very frustrating. When I got there, my head coach father passed away. He was like the president of the team. So he ran basically everything. He was the guy that had everything organized. So that was out the window. So the team stuff was unorganized. It was just a lot of stuff. And so mentally, it kind of took a toll on me. Where I, after the season, like I told you, I took my break to see if, do I truly still love the game? Because when I was going through that, the love for the game was out the window. I felt like I didn't enjoy the game anymore. It was annoying to me. Even though I still like worked out a lot, trained, because that was just already, it's already in my DNA to do that. I wasn't enjoying it. It was more like a chore. So yeah, so I say that year off helped me just get my mind back and look at things in a different perspective and basically to breathe. But also while I was there, I tapped into more of meditating, breathing, reading books. I don't want to say like inspirational books, but books on yourself, like how to, you know, for example, be a better person, how to communicate with people. Yeah, like things of that sort. So yeah.
Very cool. And I know that like April, you were invited to like the Aces training camp. So what was that like? And like, how was that like getting called to go to a WNBA training camp?
Yeah, so that was like 2 years ago and that was cool. Really just showed me that, you know, my hard work is, you know, is being noticed or whatever. Even though I know the work that I put in, I don't need the validation from the WNBA. That's just how I look at it. But, you know, it was cool to have the opportunity, especially being in Las Vegas. And just to have, because I was an undrafted player, so just to have a coach to give me that opportunity, I was grateful for. But it also just, when I got there, also showed me like, okay, this is how a professional league is ran. You know, this is how the schedule will be set up. This is what they expect from you. This is, you know, the level of play. This is how you should play every day or what you should try to go out and compete at a certain level. But also it's just, you know, it's good and bad and everything. So the pros, I really liked the, you know, the network and the connection of the athletes that were there, the opportunity of living in Vegas, but being treated as a pro athlete. And then cons, you know, just getting over, I'll say insecurities in myself, but also the label of being undrafted was very annoying to hear, but at the end of the day, it's a business. They're gonna do that. So yeah, just basically it toughened me up mentally and physically. So I love that chance. It was a great opportunity.
Anyway, like being undrafted, I mean, you still did such an incredible job overseas and stuff. Like, how do you think that impacted you? And sort of like, how did that change your mentality?
I'll just say it just added a little more grit to me. I've always been a player that just, I play pretty physical and I play hard. But being undrafted was kind of another like kicking the butt. Like all throughout my basketball career, I felt like I was always the underdog. So it wasn't new to me. I really wasn't shocked like not being drafted, because again, WNBA is 12 teams, 12 leagues, and they usually look at the usual schools that they feel are the best. So from those schools, they usually pick those players, yada, yada, yada. And for some reason, I feel like NC State was always being disrespected, even though I felt like we proved to people that we belong. And still to this day, it amazes me that not one NC State player is in the WNBA right now, but we've been in the top 10 for like NCAA rankings, went to Sweet 16 multiple times for NCAA. It's whatever, but yeah, just added more grit to me. It just made me realize that I don't care what people think, as long as I go to sleep at night knowing that I did my best and I can look at myself in the mirror and be proud of myself. That's all I ask for in life.
No, that's amazing. And like a lot of people don't realize WNBA has 144 spots. You think about NBA, there's 450 spots. So it's so hard to get in. It's so hard.
Yeah. Exactly. And I just want men to realize that, like men athletes to realize that, because a lot of them, they look at the WNBA and they're like, oh, I guess you're not good enough because you're not in the WNBA. And I'm like, imagine if your sport had 144 spots, would you make it? Like, come on. I ask people all the time, like, if the NBA had 144 spots, who would you take and who wouldn't you take? And there will be a lot of superstars that probably wouldn't even be playing right now.
Yeah,
so
I know. Yeah, and that's rough, but you know, I like that, and I like that you've had these roadblocks. So I think a lot of people do, but they don't always like to talk about it, you know. And I think there are people that go overseas that haven't been drafted, but they don't always like to talk about it. And I think there's other people, whether that's younger, you know, you don't make a team, everyone's kind of gone through that, and I think it can be hard for people to get out of that. It's rough.
It's very rough and it's very challenging. And I feel like in life, it's all about just taking those challenges and just trying to move past them. And again, it's looking at yourself internally, seeing like what you can do better. But at the end of the day, what will make you go to sleep at night and continue to love yourself? So that's just how I look at it.
That's amazing. My last question for you is, what advice do you have for girls looking to pursue basketball at a high level?
That's a good question. First, I'll say, ask yourself, you know, can you see yourself doing it in the future for years and years? Like, do you really love it? But also, what's your grit? Like, what can you put in, or can you sacrifice parties, hanging out with friends, family members for this goal of playing professionally? If the answer is yes, then go for it. If the answer is no, or you just need to take a step back and just reevaluate your life, do so. Because playing professionally is a big step. They're asking a lot out of you, physically, mentally, you gotta be in the right spot. So if you're not like all in, I'll say, like, don't do it, like, play for fun. But even if you just want to experience it, then go for it. There's enough teams out here for you to experience it and to help you come up with an answer. So, yeah.
For sure. Well, thank you so much for coming on.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for tuning into this episode. Before we go, I want to thank our sponsor again, the Shelley Bean Sports Queen book series. Representation of girls in sport and children's books is so important, and the Shelley Bean the Sports Queen book series would make the perfect gift to any young reader. So make sure you check them out. I will leave their website in the story notes.